Is good, my boy.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I got a fade
You
finally, man. Oh my
yes,
God.
you got the fade back. All right, looking good, man.
I was looking scruffy, man. God
You,
damn.
I wasn't gonna say nothing, but yeah, I mean, you definitely noticed the low energy kind of correlated with the extra hair. So like, you had a couple steps of below your normal level, but now you can tell like the spark is back, the shine's back in the eyes.
You know, every man feels different when they get their hair cut, man. You know,
Woo!
it's like you're a whole new man. You evolved, you know, in Pokemon, do 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 do, and you start flashing. That's exactly what happens, man. I love it.
I agree with that. It also goes in reverse too. When you, it's been a long time since you've had a cut, you kind of devolve, I think. You kind of just turn back into the Charmander and just you're hiding a little bit. You know, you're low level. You're not really trying to fight nobody. Just, but yeah, after fresh after the cut, you're the Charizard. You're feeling yourself a bit. I definitely know how that feels, man. It's, I told you, I think we talked about that a long time ago on the show, where I was like, when Rach knows I get the haircut, all bets are off. Can't tell me nothing.
I'm gonna get real frisky, you will.
Risky. Yes, that's a great feeling. How was your week, sir?
I've been feeling a lot like my haircut.
Real fresh, huh? Real
So
fresh.
I feel great, man. I mean, right now I'm in my drawers. It's summertime. It's hot as fuck outside.
Woo! Yes, it is.
My drawers and my socks. I'm sorry, drawers and socks.
You didn't even tell what you're wearing because you're always above waist on camera. So thank you for the extra. I got the, you know what, since we're being transparent, I got these big ass fucking parachute pants on. Look at shit. My fucking Aladdin pants I got from Temu. Thank you. $8. Roomiest pants of all time. So yeah, man. I feel like fucking 90s Will Smith or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, this fucking pattern I got on, but
Man, it's just
bit of a
fucking
genie.
it's just swinging down there, huh? All
Oh yeah, I
that
got like fucking 8 inches
room,
extra space in the crotch area
it's
alone, so it is real roomy, real breezy down there. So nice summer pants I got. Yes, it's too hot for all that, bro. It's fucking, I told you, man, it's like Midwest heat. Today it's like 85, 90. It's gonna be like that the rest of the week, and then next week, watch it be like 50 again. Like just,
it was like low-key thunderstorming for like 20 minutes at a time.
yeah. That's been crazy lately. We had like no storms, no rain. My lawn was brown as fuck for most of the spring. And all of a sudden, summer's hitting and we can't stop the fucking rain from coming. So it's very weird, very odd. Odd temperatures, very early hot season. I don't know what the hell's going on, man. Maybe they're onto something with that global warming thing.
I'm telling you, man, the weather is fucking man-made and controlled by man, so there goes that.
We will save that for the conspiracy theory episode, sir.
That should come up soon because we're about to run
Oh
into a
yeah.
dry spell pretty soon.
Pretty much after this episode, what do we got? Baseball? Just when we talk about
UFC?
baseball. UFC, but we gotta wait for the pay-per-views for that shit. So WNBA. It's fucking spicy now, so I'm about to get into that. That's about it though. So summertime, yeah. Gotta get a little creative, man. Speaking of summertime, man, guess what happened to me?
Oh man, what happened to you?
Listen, I've been in this city for a few years, quite a few years now, and I was cruising along under the radar. I don't make any waves in the city. Some people know me, but not a lot of people. But you know what? Doesn't matter. They fucking found me, man. I thought I could escape. I thought I could avoid it, but they got me. I
Oh, I already know.
came home to that fucking letter, man. That fucking letter, the white government letter with the pink note inside that says, "Siege, you got motherfucking jury duty."
People found you.
They found me, man. They found me. I was,
The
I pretty much, I think it was about 5 years that I have not seen that letter. And I'm like, I thought I was clear. And then, nope, they got me right at the end. Right at the end of my tenure. Oh, I'm so mad. So it's in
white
July.
people
Can't
found
fucking
you.
wait.
They knew they were going through the list. Oh, black man, white wife, lives in a white neighborhood. Let's pick him. Let's pick
Yeah,
him.
he's got world vision. He should be able to be on a jury. No, man, y'all forgot the part where I don't give a shit. So I'm gonna go to a little selection, they pick me out or whatever. I'm gonna go there and I'm gonna tell them straight up, like, y'all got me listed for like a week of this shit. My job is not going to be paying me for that time I'm not working. So if I'm not getting paid, I'm not eating and I'm not living. So I'm not gonna be sitting here for a week on a jury not making money.
And by the way, I think he's innocent. Just saying.
Right. Just saying. You know, that's what I should do. Like, oh, what is the murder case? He's totally innocent. Like, I should totally bullshit him, dude. Whatever it takes, I'm doing my damnedest to get out of this shit. So I'll go that Monday. It's in July. I'll go that Monday in July, and I'm going to sit there straight face and act like I have no common sense whatsoever. That's my plan. I don't know anything about the judicial process. I'm just going to pretend like I don't know shit about nothing. I don't even barely live here. I'm using it on vacation. Whatever. Whatever it takes for me to not be on that jury. If I got to limp in, I'm going to find some crutches. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, man. I'm not sitting on anybody's jury. Man.
Do you know what type of case it is yet or no?
No, man, but I know it better be a fucking murder case and not some stupid-ass parking ticket or DUI shit.
Like, or some marijuana shit.
Right. You know, this better be worth my time. I'm trying to, like, determine the course of someone's future. Then I'm okay with it. Then I'll be interested. But my thing is, like, I can't even sit and listen. And I think I mentioned this before. It is almost impossible for me to sit and listen to people talk for an extended period of time without being able to use my phone or move around. I will fall asleep in the jury box. 100%. I can barely sit through a movie anymore. I'm getting older. So, like, if we go to a movie theater now, that's usually just nap time for me. I'm just out. Unless I really want to see the movie. So this, like, I can barely, if my manager was giving me a review about my performance over the year, I would probably be, like, getting heavy-eyed and dozing off a little bit. It's so hard for me to sit and listen. So you want me to sit and listen for a week to people talk about something I don't care about? I'm going to be KO'd. And that's not really a good jury member. I'm hoping I can get a doctor's note saying that I have narcolepsy or some shit. I don't know, but get me off this fucking case, bro. Let me just fly off to Bermuda. I don't know, but I can't imagine a bigger waste of my time than sitting in a jury.
Man, that, see, I mean, thankfully, I've never had jury duty, knock on wood.
I was just about to ask you.
So, man, I don't
know. You better knock harder.
You said you've been through this before?
Well, I got the letter like 5 years ago back at my old house, but it's like weird because they'll tell you to register and like do a questionnaire or whatever, but then they'll give you a number and they say like, okay, well on the week before you got to call this number. And if your number that they assign you is part of this pool of people that they call in to pick the jury out of, then you show up. So the last time I did this, I called that number and my number wasn't part of the jury. It wasn't part of the selection crew. So I was like, cool. I avoided it. So that was like 5 years ago. So I was like, okay, cool. I thought that was out. Done. No. Apparently, it's just every 5 years.
Oh, fuck.
So, yeah. We'll see how that goes. But you know, other than that, just another fucking week of my kids trying to kill each other during the summer hours. And it's been fun. It's been so much fun. Every day they're doing some activity. Because if they're not doing an activity, they're driving me insane. It's been lovely.
What have they been doing?
Oh, my God. If they're not trying to kill each other, they're trying to make me destroy them. So it's just a little nitpicky things because they're around each other all the time. And they're getting to an age now where that sibling rivalry is starting to kind of heat up a little bit. Sully's getting a little more confidence. It is already smart. So like they test each other and then they test each other. And they get loud and it's on every hour of the day. So I'm hearing it when I wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning and I'm hearing it when I put the bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock. So I get to hear the bookends of the arguments all the time. And I just go, stop fucking arguing. What are you arguing about? It's going to be a long fucking summer if you guys are just arguing the entire time. Like, separate. We have a big enough house. Like, what do you play outside? What do you play in your room? You both have rooms. You both have video games and tablets and everything. Like, oh, my God. Why are we trying to kill each other all the time? So it's just a lot of that. A lot of friction. Unless there's an activity. If we take them somewhere, it's all good. It's the times where they're sitting at home that it's like
they lose their shit.
They lose their shit. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm like, you're not hungry. You're bored. You ate an hour ago. You're just bored. Welcome to summer. Like, I am not Willy Wonka. I am not the guy to entertain you every single day. So that's all. It's again, it's been barely two weeks of the summer. And I'm like, when's that first day of school?
Get your
again,
asses
bro?
Back to school.
When's that first day of school? I feel like Giselle right now with Tom Brady. He's like, I'm going to retire. And you got to go 2 weeks and go, nah, you're going to have to go back, bro.
No.
You're going to have to go back, bro. Yeah, we're there at that. It's been fun.
Man.
I've been hanging in there. God, Lord, save me. Whiskey is a big help up the tap way.
Oh, yeah. And everything else you got in that alcoholic cabinet.
Liquor, cabinet. It sounds better when you say liquor over alcoholic cabinet. Like, what the hell? And actually, my shit is bare these days. I gotta restock, man. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
I think
you need to slow down. You've been
I must
drinking all
say, yeah,
day.
I went through quite a few bottles in there. We did go to the fourth annual, I believe it's the fourth annual Hayden Alexander golf outing. I mentioned this last year, and we went again this year, and that was this past weekend. And I got to help with the booze toss. So it's a bunch of people donate a bunch of bottles and cases. We had about had to be 50, 60 bottles out there. We had about, I don't know, 12, 15 cases of beer and things. And so what you do is you pay. It was one ring for $5, three rings for $10, six rings for $20. That's what it was. So you buy the rings and then you stand in a line and you try to throw a ring onto a bottle. If you got the bottle, you win the bottle. That was simple as that. So it was real fun. I brought my tunes along. I brought a little gummy treat with me, had the alcohol flowing. So we were having a great time. Weather was perfect. And I would say that was my opportunity to fill my bar up. And I ended up with a couple extra things. I'll show you what I've got from it. So I just had to play because I'm like, if I'm running the thing, I might as well just fucking play until I get something and then try to, put money into it to support the foundation. I ended up winning this fucking chocolate chip cookie dough flavored whiskey. Cookie dough. So that's an interesting bottle. I don't know if that's going to be a normal sipper or just like a party.
I was gonna say let's try it tonight, but I can't even try it with you.
Yeah, I was gonna say, try it next time you come over. I mean, well, that's definitely more of a talking piece instead of a enjoyable beverage, but maybe it's good. Who knows? I also like the sweet, sugary shit, so I like my whiskey a little smoky, but cookie dough might be good. Who
We'll see.
the fuck knows?
We'll
We'll see.
see.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. No, I don't want to do shots. No. He's got to do shots later. She asked if I want to do some shots of that shit. And I was like, no.
Oh,
But
yes, he does. Yes, he does.
yo ass wants to do some shots. And then she brings me a glass. Wow. Wow.
Nice. Now you
Well,
have to do a shot.
now I have to do one. So I guess we'll figure out what it tastes like other than cookie dough. That's enough of that. Thank
Hopefully
you.
not shit.
See this little mason jar shot glass? Isn't that dope? That's cool, isn't it?
Wow, that's
Wisconsin shit.
that
This
shit's actually pretty
yours?
cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's yours? Okay, cool. All right, cheers, sir. I'll do one for you since you got to pay up a little bit later. Are
Hold on, man.
you looking for something to drink too?
Hold up. I'll be right back. I think we could play the music. I gotta grab my sponsor stick and I'm gonna rinse this cup out.
I'll play the fucking music.
I'm sore, so
From
I bent
what?
over. Pause. No diddy. I bent over, and my hamstring almost gave out.
Jesus.
I'm just fuck leg day.
Ah, okay, leg day. I was gonna say, what the hell are you doing so you're so sore? No wonder you need the sponsor stick and the fucking shot. Oh, it's made with love. Sanctified spirits?
All right, my guy. How did it taste? How did it taste?
Oh, I didn't even taste it. I was waiting for you to get back. All right, let's see.
Oh shit! All right, hold on.
Oh.
Okay, wait for me, my boy.
We got
No,
the four roses again?
stoners left behind. Yeah.
Of course.
Cheers,
There
mate.
you go. There you go. It's not bad. It's definitely more of a like a toffee caramel flavor instead of a cookie dough flavor, but it's not bad. It's just very sticky. So
I got you.
that's why I wouldn't do a lot of those, but
This is getting spicier. This four
yeah.
roses.
Getting to the bottom of the bottle.
Yeah. It's where the good shit is.
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. You don't shake it. You just let that simmer at the bottom, and that's the best part at the end there. But
And I'm
welcome,
already drunk.
everybody.
Let's
You're
go.
already drunk just from that? Wouldn't be surprised. He's like, good day, sir. Yes. Well, welcome, everybody, back to the Bank Bros Show. How's it going? Hope you had a good week. My name is Siege. That guy's Rizzy. You already knew that. We got a lot of little bite-sized sports stories today to get into because, as we mentioned just a little bit ago, NBA finals are over. So now we're kind of like, what do we do this summer? We don't take an off season because we like to be here for you. So we like to get creative. And today we got a few things to talk about, but most of them are just really fun, idiotic things that are in the sports world that I think are hilarious. So we'll get into that. First, let's start with some fighting because we love to fight. I know you were big into this boxing match. I also checked it out just because kind of a big deal when it comes to Gervonta Tank Davis being in a fucking match. So you usually want to put your eyes on that one. And he fought Frank Martin. I know you and I talked about this for just a minute before the fight. Fight did happen. Why don't you run us through how it all went down and what you see from it? Because I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, no, actually, this was a very good fight, especially in the early six rounds, early six, seven rounds, the first six, seven rounds. So Frank Martin and Gervonta Davis, they were essentially trading shots for six, seven rounds. Frank Martin was making a miss and hitting him with the jab. Gervonta Davis occasionally would throw some flurries and get his stuff off. Pause. But you know, Gervonta Davis has the ultimate equalizer, and that's power.
Oh, yeah.
When he finds that shot, and God forbid it's an uppercut, because I think that's his most powerful shot.
That was nasty.
Later in the rounds, you could tell Tank started to wear on Frank. And that's when Frank started backing up towards the ropes and kept staying on the ropes. And he got himself caught with a uppercut.
It's beautiful.
Stung him. And then you see here, yeah, Frank's boxing really well. But then, yep, he caught him with the left uppercut and then he threw that straight left or left hook-ish. It was like a short left hand, knocked him out right on his tail, flatlined him, match is over. I mean, Tank is bar none, like the best in that lightweight division right now.
Oh yeah.
And the only fighter that I think can come close to even contending with Tank at that weight class is Lomachenko.
I knew you were gonna say Lomachenko. Yeah, I agree with that
I don't think anyone else really would stand a chance. I think he knocks out everyone else.
That's a killer. It's
Yeah.
crazy. I mean, the ring IQ and his boxing skills are just superior. They were just on display here. Like the
Yeah.
speed, the power, like Tank's got it all. And we've talked about Tank for a while too. But yes, you're right. I think it was the eighth round and just an like a uppercut left hand combo, and it was over. I was like, wow, just Frank Martin again, great boxer. Great boxer.
He
Lots of
boxed
skills.
very well.
Boxed very well in this match. I don't think he got dominated by any more. I mean, he got some really good shots on Davis still on Tank too. But yeah, this shit, oh my God. The amount of shots that Tank was hitting that were clean were pretty insignificant. So, oh my goodness, just
Yeah.
getting bludgeoned here. And you see Tank is just staying very calm, very patient, just waiting for it,
You
measuring
can
him up.
tell. You can tell Frank Martin was really just looking to counter, make Tank counter and hit him with that backhand. You could tell he was just trying to line it up all night. And I think Tank knew that. And so when Tank saw that Frank wasn't applying any type of pressure, he knew he can go get him. And he went and
Look at
got him.
that. He's just holding him in the corner and just, let me
Yep,
get you.
it's
Let
right
me get
here.
you.
It's right here. Watch his uppercut. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, straight. Right. Oh. Oh, it's coming, it's
Night,
coming.
night.
Oh,
Night,
oh.
night. He's already on the ropes. Caravan's
Oh.
already getting in. Ref's still counting. Like, you already know it's done. It's over.
Oh man, and then the
That was,
back
and
flip.
the backflip. Whoop.
Oh.
Brutal. Just what an animal. So, yeah. This was exactly what we thought it was going to be. Maybe not exactly, but it ended up how I thought it was going to be with Tank on top, just doing what he does, staying the course, and just.
Oh, that uppercut. Oh.
It's disgusting. The
Oh.
skills were just better here, plain and simple.
Yeah.
Guy's in a class of his own. So, yeah, I don't know who could take Tank at this point. It's kind of nuts, but man's dominant, plain and
Yeah,
simple.
I think yeah, he's the guy right now in boxing.
Yes.
Well, especially for that division, because that division is pretty stacked. He's the guy. And I
Yeah.
don't think, like I said, again, only Lomachenko could put up a match against him. I don't see
Yeah, I
anyone
can't
else coming close.
think of anybody. So yeah, Tank will probably be untouchable for a while, but we'll see if someone tries to challenge him at some point, give him a test here. But yeah, nice try, Martin. This was all Tank all day.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears a little bit here and take a gander at a different boxing match that happened this weekend that I wanted to talk about for just a second. And that's between two former UFC fighters who I was very interested because we've talked about these two before with Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen, two of UFC's premier talents rising through the ranks. Anderson Silva, of course, one of the greatest of all time, my personal favorite of all time. And Chael Sonnen was one of his biggest rivals who I never thought was on the same level as Silva, but he sure liked to talk like he was. And, you know, Silva was, I mean, Sonnen was a big wrestling fan, so he's all about promotion and pizzazz and putting his name out there no matter what and no matter how he actually believes in himself. Like, Sonnen is somebody who talked himself in the championship fights. So I respect the hustle for that shit. They've had a long and storied career. They decide to have an exhibition match in Brazil and a boxing match. And we go, okay, Silva has had his, he's tried his hand at boxing before with mixed results. I'll put it that way without getting into the Paul brothers. But Silva has been in the boxing ring before. Sonnen, I believe he has too. I just don't know if I've seen any of his boxing matches before. But this is an exhibition. For those who don't know, exhibitions usually are lighter. You know, that's not trying to kill your opponent, but you try to make a statement, show your skills off. A lot of times it's usually no knockouts involved or anything like that. But, you know, exhibitions can still be entertaining if you do it the right way. Like Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. That was an exhibition just a few years ago. And both guys were so fucking old, but I enjoyed it. The spectacle of it made it fun. You could tell Tyson wasn't really still holding anything back. It's just they're a bit older. So we'll see how that goes. This match, though, I don't know if you've seen the clips of this match.
No, I watched them.
Well, I'm the boy. Let's put it on the screen for our folks who are watching on YouTube. Shit, what's up?
We're gonna put this bullshit on screen, huh?
We sure are, because I need the people to see just how soft these fucking punches are.
This shit is
Soft.
like, this is worse than sparring.
It literally is. This is soft as baby shit.
Look at this.
Like, I
You
mean,
can tell they're throwing like 10% punches.
if even that,
Look
these
at
are
Silva.
cat.
Silva would have knocked him out in the UFC if he
Right.
was, you know what I'm saying? He threw that shit how he normally throws it.
These are baby kittens pawing at a hot window trying to get a cool drink of water or something. I don't fucking know. But what is this? Look at these guys. And again, these are former premier athletes.
You can tell, like, there was an agreement in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to hurt ourselves. We're going to go
Yeah.
out for 5 rounds and just give the fans a little show.
Little show. No big deal. My thing is like this. Like, if it's an exhibition with no knockouts and soft punches, 10% power, 5% speed, whatever. That's fine. It's not like I'm mad about that. My thing is though, the president of like the boxing operations in Brazil publicly said there's gonna be a winner in this fight. Someone's gonna be a winner. And we do this 5-round ballet dance and it ends in a tie. It's a draw.
There was no winner.
There was no winner. So we get no winner on this soft ass boxing match with two big names for 5 rounds who do nothing. What was the point of this? Who was this for? I have no idea. But when I saw this, I was like, I kind of hate both these guys now. Is that bad? Like, this kind of hurts me a little bit. Hurts my feelings. What is this?
Hey, they're just
They're
like
just
trying to get
like,
a check,
what
I
is it?
guess. I
Like, what
don't
was that
know.
punch? Like, there's so many kill shot available here. Like, and both guys are just like, here you go. They're moving their legs like they want to hit, but they just completely pull. Even this little flurry here at the end of round 5, a minute to go, and it's like Silva's trying to empty the tank, and they're barely making contact. They're throwing like they're hitting hard, but it's that end that's just,
This is a
they're not.
WWE ass fight.
I wouldn't even say that. I've seen dudes get shit busted open in WWE, like legitimately. So like, I would give them the edge over this shit. Yeah, they're not actually hitting each other on that show, but like, at least with that, you know it's a show. It's supposed to be like suspend your disbelief, you know. This is presented like a real boxing match, and we got this for 5 rounds. It's beautiful. Look how soft. Look how tired Sonnen is.
Yeah,
Yep, and we're in a draw.
they both
Lovely. They both won, and we all
won.
lost. Thank you, Brazil. Thank you, Silva and Sonnen, for that lovely exhibition that nobody asked for, and now we're going to ridicule you for it for the next year or so, at least, if not the next 10 years. Awesome. Fucking awesome. I saw that and cried a little bit. But that's all right. Let's move on to real sports. Some fake boxing matches. And let's get into the NBA finals because, like we said last week, at the time, the Celtics were trying to go up 3-0, and they did. They beat the Mavericks at that point. And we said, we didn't know. We didn't know it was going to happen. We thought Celtics were going to be just dominating. Maybe the Mavericks might come back a couple games here and there. And Mavericks, you know, they got the one. They got the gentleman's sweep. And then the Celtics came back and finished the job in game 5, winning the NBA championship again, as they should have. This is how it should have gone. Not really sure anybody doubted this one for a minute. So congratulations, Celtics. Now with 18 championships, which is the NBA record all time. Jaylen Brown won the finals MVP. But I want to know what your thoughts are on the game and A, did Brown deserve the finals MVP? B, what the fuck happened to Dallas?
Okay, thoughts about the game. I mean, shit, Boston is just balls deep, man. Like, especially when they're at home, they don't
My
miss a
God.
goddamn three.
It wasn't even close.
They Sam Hauser came and sparking that bitch. Derek White didn't miss, I feel like. Drew Holiday felt like every time he had the ball, something good happened.
Yeah. I think that's why I
Like,
said Drew Holiday first. I'm like, put some
bro,
respect on Drew Holiday's name.
every time he touched the ball, either he had an assist or he got an offensive rebound or he finished a
Yes.
layup at the rim or hit a
He was
three. Like, something
everywhere.
good happened whenever
Yes.
he touched the ball.
Crazy.
And then Jason Tatum just chose the perfect time to have the best game of his entire run this year so far in the playoffs
Right.
for this final game of the year. I believe he had a triple double or close to
Let's
it.
see.
He had like 30 some odd points, 11 rebounds. I know he
11
had plenty of
assists,
assists.
8 rebounds, 11 assists, yeah.
8 rebounds, 11
So,
assists. Okay.
we're close.
So very close to a triple double. And I guess this is going to answer your first question.
Yeah.
That man, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown was the driving force of this Boston Celtics team for damn near the entire playoffs.
I think
Jason
so.
Tatum didn't play consistently throughout this entire playoff run. He
Not
didn't.
really.
He had spurts and he had games, he had moments. And credit to the Boston team, like he didn't need to be great all the time. It was
Right.
okay for him to have an off game and be human and let Jaylen Brown and Drew Holiday do what they do and show that they can be number one options on any other team in the league. And so did Drew Holiday, I mean, did Jaylen Brown deserve finals MVP? Absolutely.
The right
Although
call.
Jason Tatum had the better game five, he didn't have the
Yeah.
better game one, two, three, or even four.
One through four, right?
Yeah. Like the way Jaylen Brown was affecting the game this entire series, he was doing it on both ends of the court. He was picking up Luka Doncic from the jump. As soon as Luka caught the ball on the inbound pass, he was picking him up full court on his hip like a holster. You feel me? And like he embraced that matchup. You can hear him in the timeouts on the sideline saying, like, if Luka passes the ball, I'm making sure he's not gonna be able to catch it again. And every time Luka did something, for the most part, every time Luka made a shot or something, it was on someone else. That's what I've noticed. And
Yeah.
so, yes, Jaylen Brown definitely deserved finals MVP for the way he played on both ends of the court. Now, what the fuck happened to the Mavericks?
Good question. This is
Sometimes you just run into a better team. So the Mavericks
absolutely
didn't necessarily do anything wrong. They've been playing the way they played to get themselves here, which
true.
is heavy isolation ball, rely a lot on corner threes and the lobs. Well, Boston took away the corner threes and Boston took away the lobs. So
That's
they
it.
just had to rely solely on isolation ball. And when you have the elite defenders and high IQ players that the Boston Celtics have, from Derek White all the way to Al Horford, you are going to struggle consistently getting points trying to score in isolation because you're not just playing against the defender in front of you, you're playing against the other guys behind him. You're playing
Very
against the
true.
help side defense. You're playing against Jason Tatum, hoping that you dribble over to the weak side so he can reach in and get a steal and throw it across the court to Jaylen Brown to get another dunk. So the Mavericks were just outmatched. And Boston was the best team going into the playoffs.
Yep.
And clearly they showed why they're the best team right now. And I want to ask this question to you and throw it back to you. Pause, pause, pause. No diddy. Oh, man. Whoa,
Whoa,
whoa.
whoa now.
Is this the start of another Boston Celtics dynasty?
Here's the thing. Give me 1 second. I need to answer a question for myself.
All right, because I just wanted to say before you answer the question, I just want to throw
Please
this out
do.
there.
I gotta look up a stat while you're doing that. So go ahead.
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're very fond of each other, really
Oh
good
yeah.
friends.
Oh yeah.
Chemistry is important, and they're both very young. Like, they're not even over the age of 26.
Right.
They got a lot of time in an Eastern Conference, which looks very weak right now.
Oh yeah. I'd say so.
So, is this the start of a new Boston Celtics dynasty?
I found the stat that I wanted, and that's just wanted to make sure I reiterate this when I say this. Fuck no.
Why is that?
Because we haven't had a repeat NBA champion since what, the Heat? 2013? It's been a while. And that's including the mega teams in the NBA that we have talked about many times in the show. They couldn't do repeat championships. LeBron couldn't fucking do it.
Last team to repeat was the Warriors.
Okay.
But
What
that
was
was
that?
with Kevin Durant.
Exactly. The last mega team did it. So do I think the Celtics are an amazing fucking team? Absolutely. Are they that team? No. And it's not so much even that for me. It's how much we talk shit about the East, saying like the East is a wasteland. Is dead. I get it. I have this feeling like we're not gonna be able to keep saying that for too much longer. Yes, this year, the whole map played out for the Celtics exactly how it needed to. What was that? 5-5-4-5? Like
Some
they
shit like
some
that,
shit like that. They cruised through these playoffs. I don't A see that happening again, where it's just this fucking easy. When everyone's injured on the way to your finals run, and then the finals team that you should have probably had the most trouble with, holy shit's the bed. Not totally, but you know what I mean. Like, they didn't give much of a fucking fight. So, do I see that playing out this? Hell no. I think the East is going to get a little better. And for example, Milwaukee, I think Giannis and Lillard get better together next year. This was a first year of an experiment. It was good in parts, it was bad in parts. You know, I think they've started figuring things out in the stretch and it kind of fell apart for them. I don't think Milwaukee is going to be that bad again in the stretch next year. I think other teams that you see in the East are putting pieces together and getting there. The Knicks, I think they showed you a lot this year. You know, that's somebody where I gave them a lot of shit and I go, they made me eat a lot of my words. I don't think the Pacers are that bad. I don't think the Pacers are as bad as they played down the last couple games where they got eliminated. So, like, I
They didn't
just
have
think
Tyrese.
they didn't have Tyrese. You know, all these fucking injuries and scenarios happen for this to happen. And I'm not using that to take away from the Celtics. I'm just saying the odds of all that happening again is slim to none. And I'm not saying the Celtics need that to happen either. I think in another world where maybe the injuries didn't happen, I still feel like the Celtics were the best team, period. Even without the injuries for the other teams they faced, I just feel like the East is probably more likely going to meet the Celtics more than the Celtics are going to just stay on top, dominating. This was a special year for them. I don't see them running it back like that. If they do, yeah, that's pretty fucking rad. Do I think they have the capability of doing it? Sure. I think they're wildly talented. And I know that they'll probably be back in the mix right away. They might even make it back to the finals next year. I don't know. But I just feel like the East was significantly bad this season. And I don't see it getting quite that bad, including certain teams we'll talk about, like yours, where I don't see them just sitting at 14 wins again next year. So, and we'll get into why in a little bit, but that's where I'm just saying to say a dynasty. Now, let me ask you a counter when, because we've had a conversation before about dynasties. When you say dynasty, are you saying like repeat and up, or are you saying like 3 in a 6 year period? Like, what level of dynasty are we considering here?
I'm glad you brought that question up because I was going to ask you that. So, my definition of a dynasty, in order for me to consider you a dynastic team, you do not, I repeat, you do not have to win back-to-back champions. Let me
Okay.
give you an example. Were the Spurs a dynasty?
See, I don't consider them, but I'm a Spurs hater. But I know the Tim Duncan Spurs were ridiculously good. But I wouldn't consider them dynasty, but I know they probably are.
Yeah, well, I believe 99% of the basketball community would say that the Spurs were definitely a basketball dynasty.
Yeah, I just
I,
fucking,
18, I believe, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you can fact check me, but 18
Yeah.
straight 50 win seasons.
Oh, shit. Okay. So you're.
18 straight 50 win seasons. I believe that's what it was.
Okay. And see, I'm in the lens of championships again, too. So I go.
But I say that to say they never won back-to-back chips,
No.
but they've won championships in different eras with the
True.
same core.
Okay. So you consider that a dynasty.
And I consider that a dynasty.
Okay.
So multiple championships, multiple winning seasons, you get the deal.
Okay.
I believe, now I'm gonna throw this one back at
Yeah,
pause.
because that if we're talking that way, then I'm gonna change my answer a little bit, but go ahead.
Yeah, I actually do think this is the beginning of another Boston Celtics dynasty.
Sure.
And let me tell you and the fans why. I just explained that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they're very young and they're very fond of each other.
Yes.
That those two are your nucleuses. You build around those two.
Absolutely.
The pieces they have around them, Derek White, Jrue Holiday. I don't know two other perfect guards that can play around these two ball dominant wings because these two guards can sit in the corners, hit threes all game long if you need them to. They can defend the best perimeter players on the opposite team. They can switch everything. They're high IQ players. They can play make when you want them to. They can run high pick and roll. They can do everything, but they're okay with playing catch and shoot and playing off of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And then
Perfect role players.
the guy at the five, Kristaps Porzingis, if he comes back, if they get him back on a big, a long-term deal, he unlocks everything for him. And you saw game one when he didn't miss and had his fucking sharp take over the entire game.
Crazy game for him.
Cooking. When he's healthy, cooking. He unlocks a whole different mode for that Boston Celtics offense.
Absolutely true. I
And
think you need to lock all that up. That's you're absolutely right. If you can get all those guys and just keep running it back, yeah. I love that co that core together is so fucking good.
they have, if I'm not mistaken, they got Jason Tatum locked up. I don't
Yeah, I
think
think
Jaylen
so.
Brown's locked up yet.
I don't think so. I think he's
Jrue
next, isn't he?
Holiday's locked up.
Yep. Doesn't get Kristaps locked up.
Kristaps, they have to get locked up. And then I
Yep.
believe White has another year on his deal.
He shouldn't be hard though, but like pause. Wow. He shouldn't be difficult to re-sign. But
Oh.
Brown, I believe, is the next because you know he's about to get fucking paid if he hasn't
Oh,
yet.
yeah.
So
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Somebody's
So
going to throw the fucking strip club, the fucking Statue of Liberty, the fucking their mom. They're going to throw everything at Jaylen Brown.
right. So yeah, so if that's the case, if we're talking, because I was answering that on the lines of like three-peat championships, like back-to-back even, repeat, or like back-to-back in like a third one in like 5 years, something like that. If we're talking along your lines of just like a lot of solid, successful seasons, all, in a big nucleus of time and a few championships sprinkled in amongst like a 10-year period. If that's the definition of dynasty, then yes, I do agree with you. I think this Celtics team is built for the long term and will be competing. If maybe not, I don't see them winning a bunch of championships, maybe like a 3 and 10 year kind of thing. But I think they are going to be in the mix for an NBA Finals for the foreseeable future. So let me not take away from what I think they can do. I was going strictly off of like football dynasties and like who I consider like one, two, three championships in a row. Patriots were a dynasty because they just couldn't stop fucking winning. If you're going along the lines of all of that, all success, all that, yes, Celtics are up there. But purely championships, like I don't see them winning it next year. I see them being in the mix next year. I don't see them winning it next year. I do see them winning a few over the next few years, but not
Okay, so let
next
me
year.
ask you this.
Yes.
Who's a threat in the East and who actually beats them?
Ooh. Are we talking about like next year specifically? Okay.
Who do you
That's
think?
if I'm looking at the East, let's see
Say
here.
yes. Yeah, start with the East.
Start of the East? Okay, yeah. I'll go through the East. I'll go to the West. I know somebody in the West can take them. But in the East, I'm looking at New York. I can't believe I'm saying it, but if New York does the right offseason, they're showed me. They're scrappy. They can hang with really good teams, but they're still missing a couple pieces. So I'm giving them an asterisk, but I'm
Honestly,
saying
I
I
don't think they're missing a piece. I think they just need to be healthy.
that maybe that's what it is. They're missing something, is what I'm getting at,
Cause
and maybe it's health.
they didn't
But
have OG, they didn't have
yeah,
J Julius Randle.
like
Like
those
those two could give
pieces.
the Celtics problems. Like Julius Randle, he's a wild card.
Yeah, and
I
I'm not
told you
a
about him before.
I know I'm not a Randle
I
fan, but
love Julius Randle.
it's also because I haven't seen that Julius Randle yet either, the one who can go toe to toe with elite teams. So show me that Randle. Yeah, I'll give the Knicks a little credit. I'll do that. Bucks, of course, healthy Bucks. I'm sorry. I still think that's the number one threat to the Celtics. Everyone else, Pacers are, I like what they did this year, but we'll see. Halliburton's great. They're going to need a little more. I know they want to lock up Siakam long term, too. So that's a good thing to
Oh, they
start.
just signed him. Yep.
Oh, you signed him?
Yep.
Perfect.
They just signed
Great
him.
first step. Great first step. Siakam was a beast. So let's go. Anybody else? Not the Bulls, that's for damn sure. Yeah. Knicks, Bucks, and Heat's always a threat in the playoffs, specifically the playoffs, and the Pacers. I'm not worried about the Sixers. Cavs and Magic are still like mid to me. Bulls, I don't know why you're even there. Hawks are nothing. Nets, I do like longer term, maybe next year, maybe a couple years. And that's really about it. Again, I'm not saying the East is going to be that great, but I'm saying they can't be any worse than they were this year, just mathematically. So I like those teams in the East. In the West, any of them could take the Celtics fully healthy one-on-one. Just saying. Thunder, love them. Nuggets, absolutely. Not the Wolves. I'm sorry, Timberwolves. I think this was like a weird playoff season for the Wolves. I don't know if y'all come back. We'll see.
No, I think they're a terrible matchup for the Wolves. Terrible matchup.
I don't like it. Clippers, interesting. Interesting. Clearly,
No way, no way.
I
I'm
like
sorry.
it.
They
I like
destroyed
it.
the Clippers.
They did. But something
I
tells
think
me,
they'll
like,
destroy the Clippers, man.
well, that's what I'm saying. We're talking about next year. I still think
Yeah.
the Clippers make moves next year so they don't end up with the same Clippers they had this past season. This past Clippers, I would have said the same thing. I'm thinking, what can the Clippers do? What can these teams do in the offseason? Who's available? Like, maybe the Clippers. I think they're talented enough with one or two changes, they'll be competing. They're always in the mix somehow. Phoenix, until otherwise, until Durant leaves, they're
They
always
got
a
a
threat.
shot. They
There's always a
have a
shot.
puncher's chance, yeah.
It's always a shot. I'm seeing a lot of Durant news. Just, I don't know if he's in Phoenix next year. I don't know. It's
And
who
he's
the fuck
shooting
knows?
jumpers at the club.
That's cool. He stays ready. Durant is somebody who doesn't give a shit about anything but basketball. So
I swear to God, not about
it's
business, not
none
about
of it.
nothing else.
Miss
Just
him with
hooping.
life other than
Yeah.
hooping. So
Yeah, that's it.
as long as you got that guy on your team, I'm sorry, you're still a threat. You're always gonna be a threat with Durant. So Lakers, who the fuck knows about the Lakers anymore? Pelicans, no. Kings, I still like the Kings. They didn't get it all done this year, but
Yeah.
between last year and this year, I'm seeing a lot of positive progression for the Kings. So
I agree.
if just keep that going, Kings are gonna be up there in the mix too. And of course the Warriors, you can't count them out either. So the rest of these guys, Rockets, Jazz, Grizzlies. Grizzlies with Ja back, maybe. That's what I thought it was gonna be this year, but that didn't
Yeah,
work out.
we'll
So
see.
yeah, the West clearly has more teams that can compete with the Celtics in the East, of course, but I just don't think the Celtics are going to be as dominant next year as they were this year. And I'm basing that solely off of just how it all unfolded. Because it seemed like a freak accident that we got there. Again, now they didn't deserve it. But you couldn't ask for a more perfect way for that to unfold. So, and then you had a Mavs who didn't even take it to seven games. They didn't take it to six. They barely took it to five. They should have got swept, in my opinion. Mavs should have just let the fucking just thing die out. But gentlemen, sweep it is. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think anybody can take them out at this point?
Honestly, in the East, even with a healthy Bucks team, I don't think the Bucks stand a chance.
Ooh, not even stand a chance. Wow,
No,
not even a
I think
chance. Okay.
Boston beats them easily 4-2. Easily, in an
I mean,
easy 4-2.
you're not wrong. You're not. I mean, that's totally fair, especially without Jrue Holiday. Like, still a huge mistake. Huge
It's
mistake. I mean, you go for Dame. I get it. You got to get Dame. But Holiday, man, he just showed you.
they have the bodies to throw at Dame. And then with Giannis, they're gonna build a wall.
Right.
They're gonna take away what you want. Something that you want, the Celtics will take away. And no team in the East is dynamic enough right now,
Right now.
the way rosters are constructed, to compete with what the Celtics got. But teams on the West, now we talking.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of them.
Because, Jokic and the Nuggets, Jokic can cause a lot of problems for the Boston Celtics.
Absolutely.
Because he plays out of the low block, and then he can play out of the high key 3-point line. They can cause some problems for the Celtics. OKC,
I like that a lot. That's what I
they're
want to see
only
this
getting
year.
better. They're only going to get better, and that could damn near be the matchup next year in the finals.
Please, please let me have that because it's got to be better than this fucking finals. Thunder will give him some fucking fits.
They match up a whole lot better with the Boston Celtics than the Dallas Mavericks do
I
because.
think so.
The Thunder, they just got a bunch of like scrappy 6'5", 6'6" guys.
Dogs, man. Just dogs. Hungry
And
dogs.
that's kind of what you need to go against the Boston Celtics. You're gonna need some guys that aren't afraid to get into a fight every now and then.
That
And
old school.
also go get a bucket.
Yeah,
Cause you
absolutely.
got guys like Jalen Williams alongside Shea. And I mean you got Chet.
Oh yeah.
That
Chet's gonna be a star.
Chet's gonna be a good matchup. So with Porzingis, and so I think the Thunder is the team that can really beat the Celtics.
I would love it. That'd be such a huge moment. Out with the old and with the new when it comes to franchises. So I think Thunder are due. I think they're doing all the right things. I think this past season being the number one seed, I mean, sky's the limit for the fucking Thunder. I can't wait to see what they do next.
Yeah.
Becoming a huge fan. Oh, I was already a fan, but becoming an even bigger one. That's for damn sure. But a different team in the East is
Oh
sitting
man.
at the bottom.
Huh.
And for our fans who are new to this show and didn't know that Rizzy is a devout Detroit Pistons follower, should probably hear what he has to say about his coach, Monty Williams, getting let go by the Detroit Pistons. Sir, what's going on in Detroit?
All right, so backstory. This man, Monty Williams, and this dumbass owner, Tom Gores, agreed on like a fucking, it was like a damn near a 7-year deal for like $1 billion, bro. They threw this man a bag.
So much money. Oh, wait, he had two shots.
I do gotta do shots because I lost the finals bet. I'll tell you this story
Tell
while
me
I'm,
this, so I do your shots. There you go.
because
I
I'm gonna
remember
need a
that.
shot after telling you this bullshit. So Monty Williams guaranteed like damn near 60 million on some real shit, right? On like a 5-6 long-term deal.
6 years.
6-year deal. This motherfucker got out of it in 1 year and he's still gonna get paid by our dumbass owner. Now everything makes sense. All the dumbass shit he was doing, all the dumbass rotations, why he was starting Killian Hayes over Jaden Ivey, why he stopped playing Ausar Thompson and started playing like Stanley Umude and
You were loving all those moves, man. You were loving
fucking, I don't know what the fuck this man was on. God damn, man. And now everything makes sense. Because it was because he was trying to get fired.
Yeah,
He was just
he's
trying to get a
done.
bag and get the fuck out. He didn't want to coach his young team. He's trying to go to the Lakers or some shit like that and coach a veteran team where he can step in and win right away, possibly. Because remember, he came from a Phoenix team that he rebuilt.
That's right.
He
Very
brought them
successfully.
back up from trash, from when Devin Booker
Nothing.
was out there getting 70 with Tyler Ulis.
Yes. I forgot about Ulis. Holy shit.
And so, like, he came from that to bringing them to the finals to getting fired. So you know he does not want anything to do with the rebuild. He ain't got no time for that shit.
Hell no. Hell no.
And so I ain't mad at him, but I'm mad at him. Because at the same time, you stunted the growth of our team.
Ooh, you're not wrong.
Now that I see the way that I see things, I mean, unless he didn't, I mean, I would love to have this conversation with him one day. Because, like, yo, if you did all that shit just to get out of your job, like, bro, like, what the fuck, man? That's kind of fucked up. You damn near stunted the whole growth of our team because you could have been playing the young talent with the young talent, but instead you got me doing this shot, man. Fuck you.
Oh my God. I know I have done worse things to get out of a job before, but it's never been along a slow burn demolishing like he did with Detroit, which it was not his fault. That wasn't all his fault. There was quite a few injuries on that team
Hey,
too.
look.
Like,
He knew what he was getting into.
exactly. You know what you signed on for? It's the worst team in the league, no offense,
And he
but
knew what he was doing when he was starting Killian Hayes.
oh yeah.
Who, mind you, we could not find a trade partner for. So we
Nobody
released
wants
him.
that.
And he cleared waivers.
Yep. That tells you all you
So
gotta know.
yeah, he was playing that guy over Jaden Ivey.
And if it wasn't his idea to get fired, and this was just clear, like he was trying and it just didn't work out, my question is for the Pistons ownership, managers, whoever make that fucking call, why are you bringing in someone on a clearly rebuilding team? They've been rebuilding forever. Just to fire him after 1 year. Can you imagine being so shitty at your job that you lose your job in the first year, but then you get paid $15 million a year for 5 years straight to do nothing, to not coach? What the f Where do I set up for that fucking job? Are you
Man,
kidding?
hey, you got to be really fucking good at it beforehand.
That's the thing. You gotta be a ball hog. I mean, you gotta be great before that. And then
Then just fuck off.
coast, you coast.
Yep. As soon as you sign that dotted line, you out
Oh man,
that
that's
bitch.
right.
Checked out.
Peace,
Honey, where are you trying to go
peace.
on vacation? I'm out this bitch
Right?
in a year. Don't even trip.
Exactly.
60
I
million
mean,
guaranteed. They're going to have to pay me whether I work here or not.
exactly. He already knows the strip clubs are better than L.A. anyway. Again, no offense, Detroit, but sun is a little bit, it just shines a little bit
Hey, but
better on
they
the
ain't got
West
no Coney
Coast.
Island like us, though, man.
You are not wrong. You're not wrong.
5 a.m.
But
chili
that's
dog.
really all you got, though. That's really all you
Yeah, I
got.
know. Yeah, I know.
So, you know, I'm
Chill,
sure
man. But
Monty would prefer the beach, you
hey,
know.
man, fuck you and your Chicago style pizza.
Hey, in my defense, I don't like the regular, like the deep dish. I think Chicago pizza is like the actual thin crust, sausage, peppers, that kind of thing. But this is a hot dog. This is a glizzy. So, it ain't no pizza on here.
Chicago Glizzy.
You coming after my shirt? I bought two more of these fucking shirts too. I'm gonna wear one on the next show. I'm so excited about it. It's another Chicago shirt, but I'm not gonna tell
All
you what it's from. You'll just have to see
right,
it. It's so fucking dope.
they'll be
Oh
our
my God.
unofficial sponsor.
Oh God. Yeah. Relish? Fuck yeah, dude. But let me ask you this. Who's your next coach? Who do you want? If you are the GM of the Detroit Pistons, who are you going to get to turn this shit around finally? And you have the number
I
one, the number five draft pick too. So like,
okay.
new
My
coach,
dream
top five pick.
offseason right now for the Detroit Pistons. I pray to God on my knees every single fucking night with both hands on my pillows, and I don't say that when I'm praying, I swear. And I pray that Chauncey Billups gets fired.
Oh, Billups.
I pray Chauncey Billups gets fired. I bring Chauncey Billups in and I tell him, look, you can be the GM and you're the coach.
All of it.
And you know what? Oh, wait, no, we already have a GM. Fuck.
I can't get that.
But you
But
get
still.
same player personnel and
Yes.
you are our head coach on a rebuilding team. Take your time. We're not gonna, you don't have to win right away. You got 4 years, 5 years into this thing. As long as
Right.
we're improving, we're gonna keep you.
Which I don't see how you can't improve at this point, but okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think he's somebody that the players would respect because he won in Detroit. He has a championship. And every team that he's been on, everybody that speaks about him, all his teammates, has always said what he does is he slows everything down for everybody. He's a leader on the court. He makes sure that everybody's getting their touches. You look at all the guys in Portland, they all love him. Matisse Thybulle is over here having him come on his podcast and shit. Matisse Thybulle, yeah. So, I think the players would love and respect Chauncey Billups, and it'll be a great move, especially for the fans. And who else do you want more to coach your team than a former Finals MVP that used to wear those colors?
Thank you. For the story alone, that's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. And your second question with the number five pick, I'm trading down. I'm gonna trade down because I believe that in this draft, a lot of these prospects are around the same if we're talking 2K wise, overall wise. You know what I mean? And so I feel like if I can trade down, possibly accumulate another pick, maybe later in the first or maybe even in the second round sometime, I'll take that because what we need right now is shooting. And there's one guy I'm really looking at, but I'm kind of hesitant to take him because if we take him, we're going to have to move Cade Cunningham to like the small forward.
Interesting.
Because this man's either going to play the one or the two. And the guy I'm looking at is Jared McCain from Duke. He's an excellent shooter, can create off the bounce. He can play off the ball, so he'll complement Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey very well. He's about 6'4", so he's a decent size for a guard. He can be like a Derek White type of player, but he has a handle. Not saying Derek White doesn't have a handle, but like he has a handle. Like he can create shots for himself that you would see the top point guards creating for themselves. And so that's who I really like, and that's who I think would fit our team. I mean, I feel like that will be a better value pick than staying at five and taking a guy like, even though I like him a lot, like Kobe, what's his name? Fuck. Is it Williams? Caleb Williams? Is that his name? No,
That's my
fuck. Your
quarterback.
quarterback. Fuck. Whatever the fuck
You mean my
Jalen Williams.
quarterback is not playing for the Pistons, bro?
Hold on. Jalen Williams has a brother. He's coming. He went to college. He goes to Colorado. Small
Okay.
forward, 6'8", lanky guy, like 190. He can score from all three levels. I like him a lot too.
Okay.
Cody Williams? Might be Cody Williams.
Cody Williams. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's his name. Cody Williams from Colorado. I like him a lot too, and I think he could be a great fit with us too.
Gotcha. Very nice. It's pretty dope. I wouldn't know what the fuck y'all can do to get out of 14 wins, but again, if it's me, if it's my organization, yeah, I love the Chauncey pick. I think emotionally that would be dynamite for you guys. The same vibe I get for like Jim Harbaugh going to the Chargers. Like for some reason, that vibe just with Detroit, that's what I think they're missing. It's just, and we talked about it before, I think they need to go back to their roots of finding the old Detroit play style, that old aggressive, and Billups is the poster child of that from that team. So I would love that so much. I don't know what draft players you should pick at this point, just because we talked about the first two, like used on most people's draft boards, but this draft kind of seems like I want to stock up on players more than I want to dial in on one, especially for someone like Detroit that y'all been collecting so many damn number one, not number ones, but so many damn top picks and really good options from all your shitty seasons in the last 5 years. And it's like, it's time to start playing with the toys now. So yeah, add more weapons, more to the chest. And like you said, the Celtics just won a championship because of depth too. It wasn't just because of their starters. Like They're fucking loaded up and down the fucking roster. So Pistons, we talked about their last championship. It was kind of the same thing. Amazing defense and just so much to, like, everyone contributed on that fucking team. So get back to that with someone like Billups in the head. Oh yeah. In this kind of a division, there's no reason Pistons can't make a big jump in a short amount of time. I think some bad luck played into the factors here. Some bad, coaching is one thing, organization is one thing, but luck, I think we're kind of just disqualifying a bit here, but it's been a little rough for Detroit, I'd say,
Yeah, no, hell
just
yeah, it's been
luck-wise.
rough. You know, like, even when we suck and are the worst team in the league, we don't get the first pick.
Thank you. You guys get
And
screwed
then
out of
when we
every
get a
draft
top
round.
pick, and when we get a top pick, we draft Darko over Carmelo.
Killian Hayes, like
And we draft Killian Hayes over, like, Tyrese Halliburton or,
Tyrese
like,
Haliburton, like, what the
you
fuck?
know, like,
So, yeah, enough with the bad luck shit. It's time to refocus on that future of the franchise. And I think they have a really good base, but the next coaching pick needs to be huge for them. And yeah, I'd love Billups. I'm a big fan of him personally as a player and as a person. I think he's fucking dope. So
I got his
go make it
jersey
happen.
hanging up right there.
There
Man,
you go.
hope it's him.
Go make it happen, bro. Manifest that shit. Lastly, let's get into the NFL just for a minute here because one stupid thing happened because of football. And another one, I have an interesting article I read about NFL that I'm curious what you think about this. So, but first off, we talked about the roast of Tom Brady about a month ago or so, how much everybody fucking loved it. And at that roast, Brady made this little sly joke. And I didn't catch it at first because I heard him say it. But I think it went over my head, and I don't think I even knew all the details behind it when he said it. But he made like a ring joke. I think it was something along the lines of like, people always used to ask me what my favorite ring was, and I always said the next one. But now I say it's my favorite ring is the camera that caught Bill Belichick leaving that little 24-year-old girl's house out in Massachusetts or something. And I said, that's hilarious. Little did I know that actually fucking happened. So turns out, news came out just a couple days ago. Bill Belichick is officially at 72 years old dating a 24-year-old former cheerleader. For those of you living under a rock, Bill Belichick is a curmudgeon. I'll put it that way. One of the grumpiest coaches. Nice, pleasant man, but one of the grumpiest, driest, most successful pro football coaches of all time, if not the grumpiest one. I am not sure how this man landed a 24-year-old cheerleader. I
Oh,
don't
you
get
know.
well, my first thought was, well, he's Bill Belichick and he's rich as fuck. The girl has her own career and everything. So I don't know if it's a money thing. And that's what I started thinking. I'm like, is Tom Brady like secretly like the ultimate wingman? Did he hook that shit up? Did Bill Belichick have Riz this whole time? Does the hoodie and no sleeves look work for that generation now? Like, what am I missing? Please explain to me, as a man with Riz, please explain how a
I have none.
72-year-old coach landed a 24-year-old cheerleader.
Well, I mean, shit, he got money, man. That's really it. When you
It
have
only
money,
gets
you
so
don't need
far, though.
Riz. To some women, when you have money, you don't need Riz. You don't need good looks. You don't need nothing. As long as you got money, they will flock to you. That's how some women are.
You are
And
not wrong.
I mean, Bill Belichick is getting what he wants. I'm sure he just wants something nice to smash. And then she's getting whatever she wants too. She wants her bills paid, her nails done. He got her.
I guess
So
so.
as long as they're happy, man, that's their business, man. I mean,
Oh,
I feel
yeah.
like shit. Y'all do y'all, man. If that's what suits you, it can never be me though. Fuck.
That's what I'm saying. And that's the thing. You go, Bill. Don't get me wrong. I'm not actually hating. Go get yours, Bill. My God. That's a 48-year difference, folks. Congratulations. My thing is, you need to go send him some honey packs ASAP, because I know what that is now.
The honey bag,
But here's I just want to hit you with one little stat with this, and then I'll move on because again, like you said, it's not our business, but the world needs to know about that shit. But here's one stat that I'll leave you with on that note. This girl he's dating, the year she was born was the year Bill Belichick started coaching the Patriots. The Patriots, not the
what
NFL, not the Browns and shit, the Patriots. His last team, ages left. When he first became head coach, that's when this girl was born. Congratulations, Bill. Congratulations. I'm very proud.
Oh
That
man.
man, he could not get a second head coaching job. Not second, but he couldn't get a next head coaching job. He tried again with the Falcons, didn't work out. So he's just gonna do this. for the off season.
And fuck a 24-year-old who he's three times older than. All right.
Yep. Bill Belichick, ladies and gentlemen. The
Bill Belichick.
legend himself. Oh,
The
I
man
love it.
in the flesh.
In the flesh. You know, he's in some flesh, all right.
Oh,
Bong.
yeah.
Ooh, ah. All right. Last thing I want to talk about in the NFL because again, it's gonna be a long summer until the football season's restarted and the gods shine upon us with fantasy and the Bears winning a Super Bowl. It's gonna manifest it right now. But I saw this article on Bleacher Report. I'll give them all the credit for this one. That made me very interested to see your opinions on this one. What they did was they went through every NFL team and they came up with a one sentence scenario for this next season for each team about what the ultimate nightmare scenario would be. So what I'm going to do is read it per division, go through each four teams' nightmare scenario, and I just want to know your opinion on which one of those four do you think is the most likely scenario to happen. And why? That makes
Okay.
sense? So again, I'm just going to read them per division, and then which one do you think is the best or is most likely to happen? So in the AFC, we'll start with the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills, they put Josh Allen suffers from the loss of his two most productive receivers. The team lacks chemistry following considerable losses, and Aaron Rodgers takes the Jets to the top of the division. That's the worst for the Bills, apparently. Miami says Tua either falls victim to injuries like in the past, or again fails to win when it matters. Especially if either happens after he signs a massive new contract. Because they're about there now. They kind of have to sign him. Or.
You know what? We have a winner.
Oh, hang on. This way. So
No, it's done.
that's
Go
probably
ahead.
the one. That one I was like, I feel like it's Miami too, but we'll see. The Patriots, they throw underprepared rookie Drake May to the Wolves with limited support, resulting in long-term damage to the 21-year-old's confidence. That sounds familiar. And the Jets, in his age 41 season, Rodgers shows us that his huge decline as a 39-year-old in 2022 and major injury in 2023 were the beginning of the end. So you're
That's
saying the
not gonna
Dolphins are
happen.
the most scenario, the most likely, huh?
And let me tell you why. Aaron
Yes,
Rodgers
please.
is going to come back and light the motherfucking league up, and Garrett Wilson will be the top rated wide receiver in fantasy this year.
Damn, you're just calling it now?
I'm telling you, yo, this Garrett Wilson is like he is
Oh.
nuts. He is cold,
Don't let me argue with that point. I
cold.
100%. He's a
And
crazy good player.
if Aaron Rodgers could just be half of what he was in the
Right.
past. That's three times better than what Zach Wilson was last season. So what do you think his numbers are going to be with Garrett Wilson, who's arguably the best on the same level
Ooh.
as a Davante Adams right now?
I'll give you that. I wasn't sure who you're gonna compare him with, but I'll give you Adams, especially
When,
Vegas
yeah,
Adams.
just right now, I feel like those
Yeah.
two, if Garrett Wilson had a comparable quarterback to, I don't know, an Aaron Rodgers who Davante Adams had, he'd be just as good. And the Dolphins, yeah, I just no. Yeah. Tua will not win when it matters most because he cannot play outdoors in the cold in
No.
the
That's so funny.
playoffs. And yeah, I mean, Tua is going to be a mid quarterback for the rest of his career. Can you win a Super Bowl with that? Absolutely. You just
Oh, of
gotta make sure
course.
you're loaded like those like that Eagles team that won with Nick Foles.
That's right. That's right. Just load everything else up. It's fine. I'll remind people the Bears got there with Rex Grossman and like Caleb Haney. And I don't know, but you know what I'm saying? Like we were in the mix with those F-rated quarterbacks. So
Absolutely.
I won't talk shit about Brock Purdy like I know you want to, but that's an example of someone who isn't quite as good as the team that surrounds him, but he's good enough to get them there. So
You go.
I can see that. I would agree with you. I feel like Dolphins are about to shoot themselves in the foot real quick here, but I feel like they're about to sign him long term. And I know they shouldn't, but compared to the market and who's getting paid right now, it's hard to get better than Tua at this point. I don't know. So do you pay him? Do you let him walk and try your luck with another guy? I just don't see them letting him walk. So I
I
don't
mean,
know. But out of those four, I think it's Miami.
yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to the AFC North. Baltimore Ravens, they have a behind a depleted offensive line. Lamar Jackson struggles to stay healthy and doesn't receive enough support from a potentially washed Derrick Henry as the Ravens again fall short of the Super Bowl. The Bengals, they have following more offensive line shuffling. Joe Burrow, who has been sacked 148 times in 52 regular season games and twice landed on IR, again fails to stay healthy enough to help the team make a run. Browns, the well-paid Deshaun Watson, who has started just 12 games since the end of 2020 and was thoroughly unimpressive in most of those outings, fails to regain his magic from the 2017 to 2020 Houston Texans. And Steelers say Russell Wilson proves he's toast, while Justin Fields proves he's a bust, but the defense remains good enough to keep them out of the top portion in round one.
I would have to go with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Same here. Yep.
Because we've seen it three times already.
It's crazy. It's so crazy.
So it's like it's bound to happen again.
I think so. I feel like they cannot keep him healthy.
And I feel like every other team, honestly, in the AFC North is going to be, at worst, very solid.
Yeah, North's going to be a fucking fun this year.
Yeah, that's the best division in football.
I think so. I don't think it's even arguable, really.
No, not at all. And no, even if Russell Wilson flames out, Justin Fields is not a bust.
No.
He's going to ball out. Just wait.
Oh, I'm waiting because I know the Chicago curse. It happens every fucking time. So I'm waiting.
Oh, he's got to get the fuck out of there.
I would never wish, you know, bad health on anybody, but this, because of my bad luck with football, this to me is screaming Wilson gets hurt by week three and Fields lights everybody up, because that's how my luck goes. And he'll prove it was never his fault and the Bears can just eat a dick yet again. I fucking love it. Love when that happens. Good God. Let's go to the AFC South. Houston Texans. Two words. Sophomore slump. The Indianapolis Colts. A scenario in which they again win just enough to lose out on significant draft capital without getting a proper feel for what Anthony Richardson could bring to the table. That one's interesting. Jaguars, another non-elite year from Trevor Lawrence, either at a premium rate or on the brink of an offseason in which the Jags will have to make a huge financial call on his future. So very similar to Tua. Titans, a scenario in which they win just enough to lose out on significant draft capital without getting a strong indication that Will Levis is the future quarterback. So a lot of quarterback questions in the AFC South. Which of these scenarios do you think will happen?
This one's easy, too. I got the Jags.
Yeah, it's the same thing, man.
Because, again, we've seen this time and time again. I expected Trevor Lawrence to take a leap this past season, and he did not. He looked the exact same. I think he's done improving.
I think so. Especially with Ridley there, we were like, oh, this is going to be a wrap. And then nothing.
Yeah. Mediocre. Mid. I'm expecting another mid-season from Trevor Lawrence, and unfortunately, they're not going to make the playoffs. And the Jags just paid him, and so – they might be stuck on some Daniel Jones type shit.
Oh, except not as dire. I think Lawrence still has talent. Jones, I think, is a wash. But
you know, they've won the same amount of games in the time that they've started.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And it's under 500. Just
I was going to say, God damn. Damn, yeah. Lawrence. Damn, Trevor. Better get it together, bro. You don't want to be in that club. Damn.
Guys him still have a job, but Justin Fields gets...
Don't even get me started on that shit, bro, because it's still our fault. But but it's, you're absolutely right. I don't get how that's even fucking possible, but that's cool. That's cool. AFC West, Denver Broncos. Accidentally or not, they again somehow post a 500-ish record and cost themselves tons of draft capital rebuild year. the Chiefs says anything short of a deep playoff run or an injury to Patrick Mahomes.
No, they're probably going to the Super Bowl again, to be honest.
Exactly. That's we don't even discuss that one. Yeah. Raiders, Devontae Adams continues to decline. Two young elite tight ends proves superfluous. And their two backup caliber quarterbacks perform like backup caliber quarterbacks. Oh, it's so fucking good. And the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert don't jibe. And a bad defense doesn't save a team that may be getting low on patience. What do you think? You know, I'm going to go first. It's the fucking Broncos.
It's the fucking Broncos.
There's no debate about this.
No.
That is what the Broncos do.
That's what they're known for. Yep.
That's what they're known for.
They're going to go 7-9.
Yep. They might sneak an 8-8 in there for no fucking reason. And
get the 15th pick.
Yep. That stupid mid pick, that stupid dumb wild card, they get a first round knockout and it does nothing for the team. That's what
they draft an offensive lineman.
Thank you. That's always the cherry on top. It's always the fucking lineman in the draft. Oh, Denver.
From fucking Wisconsin Whitewater or something.
Literally. Right. Oh, my God. Yep. I'm pretty sure that's going to fucking happen. Let's switch to the NFC. Let's go to the East because it's very interesting in the East right now. The Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott again gets them to the playoffs and again falls on his face, leaving Dallas without a quarterback or substantial draft capital next
We're
offseason.
done. That's it. That's it.
Already done. It's already done.
We're done. That's it. They didn't do shit with their team. Their team is the same
literally,
team.
it's the same fucking team. In fact, they regressed because they brought Ezekiel Elliott back. They've gone back in time. Oh, Dallas. But y'all still them boys? Hey, I know
They
I can't
still them
talk, but y'all
boys.
still them boys?
They still them boys, man.
The Giants. Significant offensive upgrades paved the way for a semi-competitive season, despite more disappointment from Daniel Jones, leaving the Giants with a big decision and limited draft capital.
No, they're not going to be competitive at all. I'm sorry.
At all. Eagles, massive changes on defense and within the coaching staff don't fix what ailed a team that lost six of its last seven games with a similar core just last year.
You know, that's slightly possible.
I could see a little bit of that. And Commanders, most would have to agree this is a reset year, so there really isn't a nightmare scenario unless Jaden Daniels has a poor rookie season or suffers an injury, which I think he'll be just great, actually. So
Yeah, he might win Rookie of the Year.
I think he's a great front runner for that. And I'm saying that with
So,
Caleb as my guy. I think Jaden Daniels is the clearer way to get there.
because I think his rushing ability might put him over the top.
Exactly. Plus, I feel like Daniels is going to have to do more. That's weird to say for Chicago because normally, a quarterback has to put the whole team on his back and he sucks. But with Daniels in Washington, I feel with his skill set, he's going to do it all anyway. He's such an RG3 type. So I feel he's got a clear way of getting there. But yeah, this is Cowboys. We already
Cowboys,
knew that.
easy. It's
Sorry,
them every
guys.
year. It's gonna
It's
happen.
every year. Every year. That's the real We Dem Boys. That's your season. Every year, boys.
Yeah. They them boys, first round knockout at
Every
home
time.
too.
And then the excuses for the summer. We'll
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can almost
Can't
set my
wait for
fucking
next
watch to it.
year.
I
Yeah,
can
we're
set
going
my
to the
watch
Super
to
Bowl
it,
next
baby.
year.
The talk is gonna get up there like September 1st. Usually after the first snap. It's usually their year at that point. Switch over to the NFC South, because that's fun. Atlanta Falcons, Kirk Cousins doesn't bounce back from a major injury at age 35. They stubbornly refuse to get a feel for Michael Penix Jr., and a strong group of offensive weapons keeps them out of the top 10 in the draft.
Interesting.
Panthers, anything short of redemption for 2023 top pick Bryce Young. Oh boy. It ain't happening, Carolina. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Saints, a team with enough talent to compete, but not enough to contend, competes without contending and continues to refuse to commit to a rebuild. That one is a little spicy for me.
Fuck.
That's a little spicy.
Fuck.
Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield implodes and reveals his breakout 2023
No
campaign
way.
was an anomaly, but they
No.
again win a soft division anyway and are again short on draft capital. That's not happening, folks.
No. I
I'm
think they're going to
already
be competitive.
Mayfield, it's time to stop disrespecting Mayfield. I'm just putting that out
Yeah.
there. There is still a lot of hate for Mayfield. He didn't do shit. That man brought this Buccaneers team to a playoff.
Second round playoff appearance.
Thank you.
Lost to the
Thank you.
Lions by one possession, maybe two
Thank
possessions.
you. Stop disrespecting Baker Mayfield. Just stop doing it. Yeah. Which do you think is scenario likely going to happen here?
Oh man, you know what? I'm gonna go. Damn, this is crazy because the Saints, that's probably gonna happen, man.
I will tell you the Saints are my pick here.
The Saints, yeah, man. Like it's hard to pick against that.
Right. It's and
But
honestly, it's
it's
with
tied for
Atlanta.
me with Atlanta. Because
Yeah.
I can see them being stupid as fuck and not playing Michael Penix if
Thank
Kirk
you.
Cousins can't play well.
I just don't get that. And that's kind of where I'm at with it is like, I didn't think they were stupid enough to do what they did up until this point.
So now
And
you can't
that's
put
where I'm
shit past them.
exactly. So now I'm like, because of course you would play Michael Penix if Cousins gets hurt, right? Right? Like, I shouldn't have to ask that question. But now that they've kind of made these offseason moves, I got to go, wait, are you guys actually stupid in that room? Because that's possible then.
You're gonna
But
start
I,
Taylor Heineke.
right? Like, what? No. So I'm going Saints here just because I agree. I think the Saints are talented, but for they've just been stuck in neutral for years now, and they
Yeah.
haven't done anything. So it's a very weird team. Like they shouldn't be need a full rebuild,
Yeah.
but they
They're
should at
gonna
least pull some
accidentally
pieces.
win. Yeah, they're gonna accidentally win games.
Yeah, despite themselves, because especially
Yeah.
in that division. So like Yeah, I feel Saints are gonna still be in the mix without doing anything of significance and just be stuck in neutral again. Like
And I honestly think the Panthers are going to be improved.
they have to be.
I expect a lot of good things from Bryce Young. I still believe in Bryce Young, and I think
I
Bryce
do
Young is
too.
a good sophomore season. I expect a very good sophomore season from Bryce Young.
Bryce Young with any other fucking team, yes. With this dumpster fire, hodgepodge, glue and tape mix of a team, yeah, it's gonna take some work. Do I think he'll be better than last year? Absolutely. They can only go up from last year. We're still taking the benefits from them sucking, but now, second year, yeah, I think they'll make some right moves and they'll get a few more wins. I don't think they're gonna be good yet, but they have to be better than last year. They just have to be. Mathematically, they have to be. It's impossible. Let's go to the NFC West. Almost done here. Arizona Cardinals, after two seasons ruined by injuries, Kyler Murray can't get it back on track. And the Cardinals are left with a massive financial decision at quarterback. Seeing a pattern for a lot of these teams here. The Rams, the veteran core performs just well enough to delay a needed rebuild for a team that is not Super Bowl caliber. Interesting. Niners, Brock Purdy finally comes back to earth in the regular season rather than the playoffs. I know
Think
how
I
you feel about
found
that
it.
one. Think
Think I
about that one,
found
right?
it.
Well, here's Seahawks. They get no clarity at quarterback, but again, post a decent record and have no obvious path to that critical position.
No. I
So
think
you're saying
Seattle.
Niners here.
Yeah, I think Seattle's gonna be just fine, to be honest with you.
Oh, I'm not worried about Seattle.
But no. Yeah, Niners.
Going Niners?
I'm going Niners because I'm not saying that he sucks, guys. I'm not saying that he sucks. But if you put this dude on the Panthers, he'll be just like Bryce Young. And
Not wrong.
Brock Purdy has benefited from having all of these star pieces around him. I feel like Brandon Ayuk is going to be gone,
Oh yeah, he's already talking like he's gone.
who honestly was his number one target.
They're gonna miss him. I don't care what they
They're
say.
going to
They're
miss him.
gonna
He was
miss Ayuk.
the best, like, pure wide receiver, like route runner. You stick him out there, have him run routes all day. He was the
Everywhere.
best that on their team.
Yep. Put him anywhere, he's gonna do the gun.
And I think that's gonna Brock Purdy's production is gonna take a hit because of that. And so
I would
I
agree.
do see regression from Brock Purdy. I don't think the Niners win their division this year. Yes, I'm a hater. Yes, I know.
I am actually going with the Rams on this one. I think between the Rams and the Niners, I was kind of tied. I was torn between which way I'd go. I'm saying the Rams just because this description is very accurate with the veteran core with Stafford. And I like what I saw at Puka. I like, Cooper Kupp's always there too. I think the Rams are still a really good team, but I agree they're not Super Bowl caliber. And I think they're still good enough to just go through this season, even without like championship aspirations, but like they'll still punch some teams in the mouth. Stafford's still a fucking dog, still a warrior. But pushing off the full rebuild, especially now that Aaron Donald's gone, I think this is the year you kind of see that defensive progression just a little bit, a little bit. They're still really good, I think. But I think it's enough where they'll have like, 7 to 9 wins, maybe a little bit more, maybe double digits they hit. And then it's another year of we're still really good. Maybe don't tear it all down yet. So it just seems like they're coasting on that above average play that they're still getting until Stafford finally dries up and then they pull the trigger. So I don't think he's there yet because he still proved last year like they can still fucking sling it. They
Hell
didn't go
yeah.
as far as he, but Stafford still is a fucking warrior, dude.
I was listening to like how we were talking about week one and our reactions, and I was saying, like, I don't know who the fuck Stafford was thrown to. These fucking NCAA 07 randomly generated ass recruits. But he was throwing dots out there. And this is
Right?
one dude, Puka Nakua. Who the fuck
I
is
remember we're like, who the fuck is Puka? We can't
he?
even say his name right. We're like, who is Puka
Who
Naku?
the fuck is
Who the
that
fuck is
guy?
this guy with 200 yards and three touchdowns?
I
Who the
swear to
fuck is this
God,
guy killing
where
me in
the fuck did
fantasy?
he come
Who the
from?
fuck is this dude? Yeah. So those Rams are still good. Don't get it wrong. So I feel that's likely, but Niners, I could definitely see that too. Especially if Ayuk is gone.
I think the Rams win the division.
I can see. That's what I mean. Good enough. Maybe a first round knockout then. But
I think just I don't know, just me predicting. I think Kyron Williams has a healthy season, and I think that's
yes,
going to help them a lot.
absolutely. I really like that guy. So like, pause. No pity. But I like the player. Fantasy wise, I think he's another one you kind of want to look at and go, he might be a sneaky one to carry your team to a championship. But healthy Kyron Williams for sure. I do like it though. Both those teams. We'll see. I don't have championship aspirations for either one of those, but
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Let's finish up. Of course, you know I had to finish it up with our division because it's the most
Come
important
on,
one.
do
The most important
it,
one. Especially because the one they put for the Bears, I go, everyone knows our nightmare scenario. Great.
Fuck, I already
Chicago
know it too.
Bears. What you tell me? What's the Bears' nightmare scenario?
Caleb
You already
Williams
know it.
comes out and plays like a rookie.
Yes, sir. Chicago Bears, if Caleb Williams pulls a Bryce Young 2023, bonus points if Justin Fields finds a groove in Pittsburgh. I go, oh, my heart, my fucking heart. Yep, that would be my nightmare scenario. That I shouldn't even say that would be. I already have that nightmare on a regular basis in my regular dreams. So, yeah, it's
That
already
shit is
been,
very likely to happen. I'm not
it's
gonna
very, very likely.
lie to
That's with our fucking history and shit. God. Lions, it says, with his bag made, Jared Goff comes back to Earth and the curse continues.
you.
The
Could be,
curse. Lions
but
fans know what that curse is.
yeah, I mean, could be, but
I don't
we'll
see that one
see.
coming. I
We'll
don't see that
see.
one.
Yeah, we'll see.
Packers, Jordan Love shows his breakout 2023 run with a fluke, but the team still competes enough to rob itself of a high draft pick in order to replace him.
Okay, that's a little more
Hilarious.
likely than ours.
Hilarious. Hilarious if that actually happened.
Yeah.
And Vikings, they get no clarity at quarterback in support of the now wildly high paid Justin Jefferson.
Fuck. I don't know, man. I think they got y'all beat, bro. I think they got y'all beat, man.
Personally, I am going to Minnesota here because I, like I said, when they got JJ, I don't like it. I don't know it. I don't think it's gonna work. I definitely don't care about Sam Darnold. So, like, yeah. And JJ just got the fucking bag of all bags. I don't think Minnesota did enough to support Jefferson, necessarily your quarterback. Like,
Oh
I
man.
feel this is Minnesota on this one, but what do you think?
No, I fuck, man. Like, I don't think Caleb's going to be bad.
God, he can't be
I,
that
he
bad, right?
can't, not with those guys.
No, we made it impossible for that.
He might not be CJ Stroud, but he's not gonna be
No.
Bryce Young.
And I'm not expecting a Stroud season either. I think Stroud was
Nah.
an outlier. Stroud went nuts last year. So
Yeah, he was a 10-year vet back there with his fucking
exactly.
cut-off ass.
Exactly.
I expect Caleb to struggle here and there, but
Sure.
I expect him to finish like top three or four in the rookie of the year voting.
I'm great with that.
Yeah. And Jared Goff, honestly, with Ben Johnson back, I think our offense is gonna be fucking dangerous.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Detroit at
Not
all.
yet. And
Like, they'll be just fine.
our O line is probably the best in the league now, with Jason Kelce gone. Thank God.
I know, right? Hallelujah. So, you're picking Minnesota?
It's Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because I expect Jordan Love to be good again.
I do too. I don't think he was a fluke last year. As much as it pains me to say, as much as I prayed on my knees every night that he turned out to be a fluke. Nope.
You know what's the worst scenario for y'all? Like another bonus? If you
Oh
guys can't
boy.
beat the Packers again.
Dude, okay, side note about that. When the schedules came out and everyone was talking about it, we had it on the show, we talked about the schedules and everything. A lot of Bears fans were mad that the divisional games for us weren't until later on. I said, thank the fuck Christ that we're not seeing Green Bay week one. Can you imagine the narrative of Caleb Williams going into Lambeau week one and, of course, shitting the bed because it's what we do in Lambeau?
Getting fucking destroyed.
The narrative for him for the rest of the year, are you kidding? Like, pack it up. He would have been destroyed. His confidence would have been
Confidence was.
shredded.
Yep.
Shredded. Thank God the football gods, Buddha, whoever, for pushing all those important games to past Christmas. Great. I love it. Because then we'll have season. We'll have a little seasoning. Like 10 games before we see any of you motherfuckers in our division to let Caleb get those reps and get the losses and the struggle and the stress out the way so that when he goes to Green Bay, he makes some fucking noise and we can actually talk some shit a little bit, maybe.
You know, I'm not gonna lie,
But
CJ. For my guy Justin Fields, I was hoping the NFL would feed us the Bears week one.
man,
I
oh
was really
man.
hoping. I was really hoping they'd
I thought
feed
that's what it was going to be because I wanted us to go to the game and do a fucking show from there. But that shit scared me. I thought you for sure were going to be our first opponent. I was like, this is going to suck.
It's gonna
Like,
get
I feel like
ugly.
it's going to get ugly. Yeah, no. No. We get everybody but our division until real late when we're nice and
Yep.
rested, nice and warmed up. So we'll
That's
see you.
perfect, y'all.
We'll see
Yeah.
you at what? Thanksgiving? We'll see you
Yeah.
at
We
Thanksgiving.
do play Thanksgiving, huh?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see you then. That's like, that's the first time we see you. So
Yeah.
enjoy your plate until then. Oh
We'll eat
God,
this
those are
turducken. We're gonna be eating this turducken, man. That's
turducken,
gonna happen.
turducken. Those are some crazy nightmare scenarios. I definitely think we'll see quite a few of these come true. So
Yeah.
that would be a very interesting season if even a few of them came true. So
I'm a
my
guarantee
God.
Minnesota's. I'm a guarantee Minnesota's.
I'm a guarantee Dallas is. Fuck that. I don't give a fuck. Come at me,
Oh, well,
Cowboys. Tell me I'm
that's a
wrong.
given. That's a given. That's a gift. That's a
Right?
freebie. That's
Tell me I'm wrong, fans.
the
That's the free spot in bingo.
little slot in
Oh my God.
bingo.
That's an amazing idea, dude.
Oh shit, what did I spark?
We should do custom bingo cards for the NFL season along those lines. And whichever one of us gets bingo first, the other one takes like a shit ton of shots or something.
All right, bet. Okay. For the
Oh
next
my
episode?
God. For the ne no, for next season of football.
Yeah, but we'll do it next episode.
Oh yeah, for sure. Next year. So we'll do like we can make that to be like, the free space would be Cowboys miss the playoffs or something. Or like, just do it for like the full season of the NFL and just crazy scenario. Oh man, we can
As
get
shit
fun with that
happens,
shit.
we'll mark shit off and
Yep,
then,
done. Like, oh, like kind of a like weeks long bingo game. I fucking love it. I love it
Let's
already.
do it. Let's
We're gonna
do
make
it.
that happen. Oh my God. I want some last words for your adoring fan, sir. On that
Man,
note.
I just wanted to say, man, happy Juneteenth, man. Happy Freedom Day.
Thank you, sir. Happy Juneteenth to all of our brothers and sisters out there. So I appreciate that. Much love. I
Those are
did
my
nothing
last
to
words.
celebrate.
Man, I had to fucking go to work.
Exactly. If anything, it was the opposite of Juneteenth for me. I had to be
Man.
working for the man again.
It's a national holiday, man. Let me get off.
Right. Well, the melanin folk get off and the rest of the
I wanted to
Caucasians
go
can
to the
take over.
Juneteenth fucking thing with my girl. God damn it.
That would be an interesting concept. I know it'll never happen, but what if Juneteenth was like, if you're Caucasian, you have to work as like a reverse.
Yeah, you fucking white slaves.
Right. As a reverse, because we're never going to get reparations. We're never going to
Nope.
get any kind of real resolution for this. But
Nope.
on one day a year, the colored folk get to sit at home and chill, and the white folk got to work.
And tell the white folks what the
I wouldn't even say that far. I wouldn't even go that far with it, but just they have to work and I don't. I would be very happy with that. That'd be very cool. I was never a slave. My families weren't slaves. I'm from Nigerian and Ireland, bro. So I don't know about slavery. I'm sure we are. But my thing is, that would be a very interesting way of balancing that out, or trying to balance that out, whatever you want to say. That's an amazing idea. My last words are along the lines of last week's last words I had, talking to my friend who passed away, went to his funeral this past Monday. Oh, say goodbye. Very fucking tough day, very emotional. But thinking about his death and how unexpected it was and dying at work, it just reminded me when I was at the funeral, like, just enjoy your life, make lasting memories. I read this quote a long time ago, and I've said it before here, but I'll say it again. We are not born to pay bills and die. That's not what we're here for. So I'm gonna start doing more living. I'm gonna start living just a little bit more adventures, more weekends away with the family, more togetherness and quality time. Just because listening to his kids, adult children, talking about they were content with his death. They spoke to him. He knew how much he loved them, and they knew how much they loved each other. Like, there was nothing unsaid. That's all you can really ask for, that there's no regrets or anything, and that the people who mean something to you remember you in a really positive light and nothing but warmth and energy. So that's what it reminded me to do, was just take that extra step every day and just live a little bit better, live a little bit louder, do a little bit more, stop saying no so much. So I'll say that for you folks who are listening and watching on YouTube, just live a little more. You never know when it's going to be your time. So give it all you got, man. You only got one time around this rock, right? So fucking get it. And in the meantime, make sure with some of that time you're spending on this earth, you use it to listen to the Bank Bro Show. You know where you could do that. That's the Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, and at gmail.com. That's at Bank Bro Show on Insta. Remember, on Instagram, we don't have the in front of Bank Bro Show. It's just at Bank Bros Show, all one word. You can find our content there, all of our fun videos and clips and audio that we are putting out just for you, and more to come, as we always like to say. So make sure you check it out. Catch us next time here, the same time, same channel, because we ain't going nowhere, baby. We're in your city. We're here for you as we always are. Ryan can do the rest of
And you can bank on it.
it. Peace out, y'all.
One, two, three.
What?